You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
That's right, everybody. Saddle up, get on the horse, and let's ride to the sound of the guns tonight on this, our second show of a brand new year of broadcasting here on TPC. I'm James Edwards, along with Keith Alexander. Saturday night, January the 14th, and I want to say right at the top of the program, happy anniversary, Mom and Dad. Today is my parents' 45th wedding anniversary. 45 years of being together. They did it the old-fashioned way. They got married, and then they started their family. I was born 42 years ago, and my brother a little bit after that. And I want to thank them for having me, for raising me, for not aborting me, and for giving me everything I needed to be here tonight with you, Keith Alexander. 45 years. That's the kind of way we want to do it.
My parents had their 50th anniversary back in the 90s, so I've got a few on you.
How about that? Well, happy anniversary to my parents, married on this day in 1978. We do have a great show for you tonight, a lot to talk about. I mean, a lot to talk about. Making his third appearance in as many months, former United States Representative Steve King will be back with us in the second hour tonight. He's going to help us navigate all the fallout from that most contentious week in Washington. He's going to share his thoughts on the winners and the losers as the slim GOP majority begins its work. Really a lot to dive into with Steve King. Also tonight, just added literally about 30 minutes before showtime, texted Lauren Witzke, the firebrand former Republican nominee for the United States Senate out of the state of Delaware, and she's going to be back, and Steve King will talk about this too, but she will also be talking about a bill that has just been introduced by Representative Sheila Jackson Lee. How could you have such a great name? Imagine your last name being Jackson Lee, the Democrat out of Texas, but she has introduced a bill, having a name like that and being this terrible. She's introduced a bill that's going to make it a federal crime if it got enacted into law for white people to criticize mass immigration or to say anything that she considers to vilify a non-white person or group. That really does go to show, and we'll bring this up with the former congressman. Steve King served 18 years in Congress with this woman, so he's got some stories. I was texting with Steve earlier today. He said, I've been all around the world with her. I'm going to tell you some stories tonight. And also the former Republican nominee for United States Senate, Lauren Witzke. This does show you what the Democrats would do if they were left unencumbered, Keith Alexander.
But also tells us what we need to do, James. In red states like Texas and Tennessee, we need to redistrict all of these Democrats out of their gerrymandered positions. And we were just looking at the map of Sheila Jackson Lee's congressional district. And believe me, it is the most incredible gerrymander you could ever imagine. They worked night and day.
It looks so like a piece of a jigsaw puzzle in metropolitan Houston is where her district is, right by Hobby Airport, for anybody that's familiar and has flown into there.
And see, if you didn't have a gerrymander like that, you would have a good, solid, well, at least a Republican and not a Democrat in there. And we need to do that, for example, in Memphis, Tennessee. We have a gerrymandered district so that the black population of Memphis can have their own, and ironically, it's not a black representative, it's a Jewish representative, Steve Cohen. And with the numbers so tight right now between Democrats and Republicans in the House of Representatives, we need to stop this foolish notion that we're somehow gaining goodwill by allowing the Democrats to have representation in red states. We need to basically redistrict them out of existence.
So you mentioned Steve Cohen, who is in Memphis proper. I mentioned this last week when we were talking about, I got to ask Steve King about this in a minute too, about the ABC rap that Akeem Jeffries did. And Steve will mention this tonight when he comes on, of course, but let me pull up where we were communicating earlier today. He was talking about how he was, he said, only two of us fought the hate crimes legislation when it went through. We knew it would be a cudgel for the race card players. Now this is going to be added to it, question mark. And he mentioned Sheila Jackson Lee and Hakeem Jeffries being just completely race obsessed, which of course they are. And but you mentioned Steve Cohen, Hakeem Jeffries, and I mentioned this last week. Hakeem Jeffries, Sheila Jackson Lee, and Steve Cohen were all part of that cohort that asked to be recognized when Congress was taking its their turn to denounce me. All three of them were the ones were three of those who went on the record on that very.
Well, as to all three of them.
Monumental day in my life.
Let me say this. In regard to all three of those people, I would paraphrase or quote the great bard William Shakespeare and say, out, out, damn spot. Let's get this. And the damn spot being their gerrymandered district. We need to have regularly drawn districts that are not gerrymandered. And if we did that, we would eliminate all of these traitors in our midst here in Red State America that we're required to tolerate. Don't tolerate anymore. You're not getting any credit for it. So what are you doing it for?
Well, this is the thing, and I was mentioning, well, I don't want to mention everything we're going to mention when these guests are on, but I'm going to ask Lauren Witzke, you know, when are we going to have somebody that says, this is anti-white, this isn't anything, are Black Lives Matter terrorists going to be held to the same thing where you're a conspiracy? Well, we'll get in, I'm going to stop right
just
there.
Just imagine this. What if you replace the word white with black in that law, and just imagine the hackles that would raise.
Well, that bill that she wants to see enacted as a law, yes. But anyway, we're foreshadowing too much. We're going to let Steve King break down with this. It's House Resolution 61, what it reads and what it would do, and then we'll talk about it, and then we'll compare and contrast different scenarios and hypocrisies and double standards. But that's all. Anyway, long story short, I guess you know by now, Steve King and Lauren Witzke are on deck this evening, and we're always excited to talk to them. Now, another thing that's happening in the world today, making international news, is the political unrest in Brazil that has surrounded.
Very similar to January the 6th.
Very similar to January 6th, except I think some of the Bolsonaro aficionados have are actually a little bit more militant. Well, we'll find out for sure, though. Now, I know what the Washington Post is saying about what's going on down in Brazil, but we do have a correspondent down in Brazil, a longtime listener, a longtime friend of the program, longtime donor down in Brazil, and he has agreed to come on incognito.
He's our man in Rio de Janeiro.
That's right, and he's going to be on tonight to talk to us about what's going on in Brazil. Just, if you don't know, and you might not know, but it is pretty big geopolitical news. You could just Google Bolsonaro Brazil, and I'm sure that you would see how the American media is covering it, and we're going to ask him to tell us what's going on in his opinion vis-a-vis how the American media is covering it. That's coming up this hour. That's coming up this hour. Then Steve King, then Lauren Witzke. We'll, Keith Alexander and I will be back with a couple of quick shots in the next segment, and then we're going to get to work. A lot of work to be done tonight. Stay tuned, everybody. Antelope Hill Publishing is America's leading publisher of dissident books, bringing you a wide variety of new translations and original works on every subject from the Spanish Civil War to the funding behind the transgender movement. Antelope Hill publishes books that mainstream publishers won't touch, full of information that challenges the political status quo and brings real culture to the reading public at an affordable price. If you count yourself as a political dissident, you owe it to yourself to check out the Antelope Hill catalog with exclusive offerings like Solzhenitsyn and the Right, The Open Society Playbook, Opioids for the Masses, and many more. There's something there for everyone, and new titles are added every month. Check out the catalog today at AntelopeHillPublishing.com. That's AntelopeHillPublishing.com.
I'm James Edwards, and I want you to go to AntelopeHillPublishing.com.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast. And that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Everybody, welcome back. We're just getting started tonight. We're just setting the table, really. Let's go through a quick grab into the mailbag, and then I got a couple of very quick hits, and we're going to get to one outstanding contributor after another tonight. How about this that came in from East Islip? I have mispronounced this so many times on the air, but East Islip, New York. As always, I am proud to support your radio program and all the work that you do. Hello, my friends, James and Keith. And that comes from a listener up in East Islip, New York. And then there was this that came in all the way from British Columbia. And this married couple writes, I look forward to new shows with you and Keith in 2023. Well, we've got them coming for you. Don't worry about that. And the reason that I thought that that was interesting to read was it just goes to show, and you were looking, you made mention of this before the show started tonight, that East Islip, New York, British Columbia, that is the full and complete expanse of this continent, and we have people tuned in tonight. Not just tonight, but every week tuned in from there and really everywhere. Hey, speaking of Canada, I love this. I got to read this. Point of personal privilege here. These are the ones. I cherish them all. But coming from a comrade, it's equally profound, but it when you get it from somebody that you've been in the trenches with, you really appreciate it. Paul Fromm up in Canada sent me a note just in the mail, just out of the blue. I deeply cherish our many years of fellowship and cooperation. And you know what, Paul? I love you, brother. We can't wait to have you back on during March Around the World coming up here not too long from now, about a month and a half. And you know, Keith, I will tell you the truth. Outside of my father and my grandfathers, I have met, and my pastor, I would put him in this company too, obviously. But outside of those four men, the very best men that I've ever met in my life has come as a result of this work. It doesn't even come close.
I'll never forget the time we met him at Shoney's, and he had all these books he was selling. And
oh, Paul Fromm you're talking about, yeah.
Exactly. Paul Fromm. See, these people have been doing yeoman's work, toiling in the vineyards for us all these years, and I think they need to be recognized for the true patriots that they are.
Well, there's no doubt about it. You look at our guest list every year. You look at the regulars that we feature, all of these people. I don't want to start naming names, but we had a lot of them on that New Year's Eve broadcast. You know, that was a showcase of the mainstays a couple of weeks ago. And then last week we kicked off the new year with a trio of guests. And then tonight, Steve King, Lauren Witzke. I think it's, you know, my vision going into this year is to blend the old and the new and people from
something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue.
Across the spectrum of our universe. Now, I don't want the spectrum to extend over to the moderates and the leftists, but I certainly want to get the broad spectrum of our universe and get all those people in our orbits and bring them in.
We want people that support us and think like us to know that they are highly regarded and treasured by us.
And it's everybody from former members of the United States Congress to people like Paul Fromm, who has just been such a champion for freedom of speech and Association and putting Canada first with regards to their immigration reform or their immigration policies, just as we would want to do here. And we bring them all together here. This is the place where it's a safe space for all of our people. And we don't put one ahead of the other. We don't appreciate one ahead of the other. We're all in this together as sort of a roundtable type of deal, a Knights of the Roundtable type of co-equal brotherhood. This comes in. I love this. This is from a listener in Kempton, Pennsylvania. He writes, Dear James and Keith, I pray that Jesus Christ richly blesses, guides, and protects you, your loved ones, and associates, and that he greatly increases your audience this year. Well, thank you so much for
that.
Well,
you know, that is exactly what's happening. You know, when you don't let people know that they have a voice and it's at a particular place and on a particular show, you can't expect to grow the movement. But on the other hand, when you do and you've been around as long as we have, there's no telling how many people we've brought around to this point of view. What do you think, James?
Well, you never know. And my goal has always been to do the best we can with what we've gotten to serve as faithful shepherds to our flock. But, you know, I hope that we reach somebody who goes off and accomplishes that we had some small role in the development of somebody who will go out and accomplish far greater things and possesses far more talent than we could ever do or possess. So that's the goal, is to just be a cog in the engine. This comes
Great Oaks from Little Acorns Grow.
That is true. From a listener in New Orleans, thank you for your show. And his notepad says, God bless America. He crossed out America. God bless Dixie. Well, amen to that, and God bless you. Hyde Park, New York. Listener in Hyde Park, New York.
Is that where Roosevelt was from?
We'll have to look that up. That's your trivia question tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Hyde Park, New York, I hope this contribution helps the show continue. I've been listening to every show for a couple of years now, and I enjoy it more as time goes on. And by the way, folks, for everybody that sent in a donation in December, you know, we had Harry Cooper back on last week to take a victory lap, as it was his incentives sparked our most successful fundraising drive in the 18 years, now 19 coming up. We've been on the air. If you liked that book and those signed photos, send me an email. And as I often say, if you didn't like it, send Harry an email. he asked the other, we had to order some reinforcements because we ran out. We had more orders than what we had originally paid for. And I said, well, we're going to need 30 more photo signed cards as well. And he said, well, you know, I've also got American signed cards from American Flyboys and American Navy guys. And I said, well, I appreciate it, Harry, but I think our guys are going to want the Germans. He goes, you got it. 30 Germans are coming your way. And we got those and have already sent those out as well. Anyway, we have a lot of fun here, too much. A listener from right here in Tennessee writes that it was good to see me in Atlanta. Yes, I was in Atlanta. He writes it was an outstanding speech. People did like that speech in Atlanta back in October. Thank you for all you do. God bless you. And the coming year. And with audience like this, you can't falter. A lady in the Knoxville area wrote that, thank you for the hard work. Thank you for everything. And to spend as much time as you can with your children. Before you know it, they'll be grown and expecting their own. Trust me, it goes by fast. Time goes by fast.
I can vouch for that.
Well, it just goes to show, I think, the humanity of our audience, the humanity of our listeners, keeping all of this in mind, knowing the order of things here, God, family, Republic.
Well, see, like James, I had three children too, but mine are now all in their 30s. So I can tell you that time flies.
Time flies, and it's flown here. I mean, can you believe? You look ahead. If you can look just above the horizon now, you know, next year is going to be 20 years on the air. We're going to be 19 later this year, and it's just an amazing – it's been an amazing run, but the thing that's been most remarkable about it, or at least, you know, certainly noteworthy, has been how fast certainly it has gone. Well, we've got smart people that come on the program. We've got an incredible audience, and you'd have to – have it, and I'm so glad we can compare and contrast our audience with the people that are out there today. You may have heard a couple of years ago that they want to ban the use of master bedroom in real estate listings. They want it to be called the owner's suite or, you know, something woke. You can't use master bedroom because master, of course, if you use the word master, every black thinks of slavery, even though they never experienced it or anything like that.
The truth is only a few do, but those few are very influential.
And then now the University of Southern California has banned the word field. They can't use the word field for their sporting events anymore because, well, why do you think, Keith? Let's see if you can put two and two together. Why is the word field racist now?
because you could conjure up and imagine in your imagination a cotton field.
And White says, we know, never picked cotton. My grandparents picked cotton, for God's sake. That was way after the war. But anyway, so there's all that. I don't know what to do. This is where we're at. There can be no reconciliation. We say this all the time. There's no reconciling. There's no reconciling Sheila Jackson Lee, who wants to put whites in prison.
That's why she needs to be out of Congress, and you need to do everything that's legal to do that job for America. We don't need haters like her in our government. They are, you know, I guarantee the founding fathers would be rolling in their graves knowing that they set up a government that would be represented by the likes of Sheila Jackson Lee.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. I mean, the path forward is going to be secession, whether we initiate it or it balkanizes through natural causes. We might as well face the fact that, and by the way, go to my Twitter, ladies and gentlemen, at James Edwards TPC. Follow us if you're not following us. It's not just mine. It's the royal we. It's for the program, too. But look at this picture of Sheila Jackson Lee. There's no reconciliation with that.
Look, let me tell you this. It's our marriage with the blue states of America is worse than any marriage with the possible exception of Franklin Roosevelt and Eleanor.
Of course, she's in Texas, but because she's in this jigsaw piece district that they carved out for her in Houston.
Gerrymander like a salamander. Yeah,
they can gerrymander, but if we do it, it's racist. But if they do it, it's good. It's
noble and honorable.
I have a dream this weekend that affirmative action is going to be outlawed by the Supreme Court. That take care of Jackson Lee, right? Or would it? Or I don't know how that works. We'll be right back.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Dave Collins. The White House says additional documents with classified markings were found in President Biden's Delaware home this week.
Aides to President Biden said the latest documents were found earlier this week, but just announced those findings on Saturday. New York Times correspondent Charlie Savage, who's been following the story, says this new discovery is raising more questions.
The biggest question raised by this on its face is, why did the White House say on Thursday, hey, there was one more record found in the space next to Biden's garage, and then it turns out there were six more pages of classified documents found next to his garage.
About two dozen classified documents from the president's time as vice president in the Obama administration have been discovered at his Washington think tank offices and in his Delaware home. I'm John Schaefer.
Ukrainian officials are reporting a new round of missile attacks. The strikes damaged several buildings, sparking fires early Saturday, but no deaths were reported. The attacks follow Russian claims that its forces seized control of the eastern Ukrainian town of Soledar. The Ukrainian government denied Moscow's claim on Friday. California Governor Gavin Newsom asking President Biden to approve a major disaster declaration for his state with another round of atmospheric rivers on the way. Here's the governor.
These atmospheric rivers, a few years ago, no one had heard of an atmospheric river. There was just some scientists down at Scripps saying, hey, you should pay attention to this thing that we've coined called atmospheric rivers.
California's been getting slammed by a series of powerful Pacific storms, causing flooding, mudslides, and power outages, and killing 19 people. Maine has its first big Mega Millions winner. Lottery officials say someone in the Pine Tree State picked all six numbers to win last night's jackpot worth an estimated $1.35 billion. The ticket holder now has the option to receive the money in 30 payments or take a lump sum of $724 million. This is USA News.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for healthcare, and here's why. Not only is it open enrollment for a lot of people, it's also a time you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. And it's true, the typical family switching to MediShare saves $500 or more a month, which is obviously huge for a lot of people, but what's more, they like it. MediShare has double the customer satisfaction rate compared to health insurance. Double. There are 400,000 members. They've shared over $4 billion in medical bills, and it really is a great community, too. People encourage and pray for each other. And here's the thing. If you join MediShare Complete right now, they'll waive your new member fees, and you'll save an additional 10% off all of 2023. That's right. No fee to join, 10% off every month of next year, but it's a very limited time offer. You have to sign up before January 15th. Great savings, great health care. Find out more. Call now. 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Now, as promised, we are taking you down live to Brazil, a nation experiencing turmoil and political unrest.
Almost on a par with that of America.
Well, a little bit more in the present moment, and it has been simmering for a while, and it reached a boil here in the last few days. So we're not going to tell you our dear friend's name or his occupation, although I will tell you that if you knew his occupation, you would stand and listen. And his exact location. But how are you doing tonight, brother? It's great to have you on. I hope you're staying safe. I know a lot's going on in Brazil, and we wish you the very best and for a favorable outcome down there.
Hi, James. Thanks for having me again. Such an honor to be here. Thanks so much for all the conversation. I just received your card. So Merry Christmas, a little bit late, and a Happy New Year for everybody from the TPC audience.
Well, and to you and to your wonderful family as well. Let's just get right down to it then. I sent you this article earlier. I'd like to read a couple of paragraphs, and then you tell us what's really going on. This is from the Washington Post, so-called journalist Terrence McCoy. The article headline is, "How Bolsonaro's Rhetoric, Then His Silence Stoked Brazil Assault." And this is what they say is going on. From Rio de Janeiro. For more than 4 years, the most fundamental questions has loomed over Brazil. Would its young democracy survive the presidency of Jair Bolsonaro? Latin America's largest country embarked on what amounted to a test of its democratic strength in 2018 when it elected the former army captain who openly lamented the collapse of the country's military dictatorship, once threatened to reinstall its rule on the first day of his presidency, and sought to at every turn, sow doubt in elections. During his time in office, he did little to soften his bellicosity. He warned of a government rupture like the military coup of 1964. If he were to lose his reelection bid, Bolsonaro said, it could be through fraud and Brazil would have worse problems than the United States did on January 6, 2021. For many Brazilians, Sunday afternoon, this is last Sunday, ladies and gentlemen, was the arrival of such a moment when Bolsonaro supporters laid siege to three pillars of the federal government, the presidential palace, the Supreme Court, and the Congress, bringing democracy here to a sudden standstill. Again, this is Washington Post so-called reporter writing. The scenes of smoke and violence were at once both shocking and predictable. The tragic realization of a prophecy Bolsonaro has repeated and uttered to mobilize his base and terrify his adversaries. So what's really going on? I trust your assessment and your commentary much more than any so-called American journalist.
Mm-hmm. Well, James, we had our January 6th here, except for the fact it was in the 8th. It's all about the same. People were really unsatisfied with the results of the election. Bolsonaro has been really quiet. Later on in the article, he says something about it, and he says that in a bad sense. But Bolsonaro stayed quiet exactly to show that the unrest of the people is not related to him, but to the situation that we have a false president, convicted thief, a person that is related to the biggest scams of corruption ever existed in the face of the earth. The amount of money that the Workers' Party stole from Brazilian from the Brazilian people during their government from 2003 to 2016, it amounts to trillions of reais, trillions of dollars. So everybody knows what's going on, and some people really went to the streets, and the situation on the January 8th is just the same as January 6th, exactly the same. And the government of Lula now is profiting on it, and these leftist media. I gotta tell you, I couldn't read the whole. Issue that you sent me, because it's just nauseating, just like the rest of the media. I mean, it's nauseating. They called the people that were inside the protest terrorists. Actually, the people who did the breaking and the storming of the buildings were infiltrated leftists. That's what they say. They also fell for it, and many people went there. They are all in jail right now. It's like 1,200 people, children and elderly included. They experienced many hardships during this confinement.
Even though we have a constitutional guarantee against being held without a hearing and for a writ of habeas corpus, yeah. In other words, why am I in jail? We have people that are still in jail from that January 6th, 2020 episode.
Yeah, that's us, and not even a place like Brazil.
And then Lula, for example. Lula is a genuine jailbird, isn't he? He actually served time for his corruption.
He served time, and he was not cleared from his conviction. He was unsentenced. In the basis of, he was unsentenced by this judge from the Supreme Court. He said that the city where Lula was trialed was wrong. He was trialed in Curitiba. He should have been trialed in São Paulo. And that just make all his undoings go away. It's just unbelievable.
Well, let me ask you this. You were mentioning that it looked like there were a lot more from the pictures that I have seen, a lot more than just 1,200 mm-hmm. people that were involved in the so-called storming. And, you know, look, I've seen some footage, so there were definitely some people getting out of hand.
I'm glad to see that you actually had your own shaman, too, like we did.
Yeah, it looked very similar. Yes, there was even a shaman there. It looked very similar, eerily, like what's going on here. But there were it looked to be thousands of people participating in this unrest. And you're saying that a certain number have been arrested. I don't know if they've all been arrested, but the government, since between last week and tonight, have been, I guess, cracking down in a way that a third world government would, I guess.
Like America.
Yeah, that's right. Like America. Well, you said something very interesting that you can understand why we are so concerned here in America. Why put two and two together, draw the connection between America and Brazil.
So my concern that I sent you in that text is that I don't think that the TPC audience should know about the photo of São Paulo Forum that I sent you. It's a consortium of Latin American leftists, and we got to understand that the leftists they know each other, and American leftists are also together in this one. So they were united in the 80s, and they said they would take over the whole of Latin America, and they're doing it. And I think you guys should be worried. I mean, Brazil has a lot of money. It's a very rich country. It's corrupted. It's been corrupted for many, many years since the institution of the Republic in 1889. And but the money of the country is just too big. It's bigger than the whole. The other part of Latin America, the Spanish part of Latin America, all the other countries, they're really smaller than Brazil. When Workers' Party was in government, they financed many, many countries, including countries in Africa, in all these corruption schemes and stealing. I mean, the numbers are staggering. It's trillions, James. So the power of Brazil in creating money, it's a 200 million people country. And that being said, it says that Latin America is going down. It's a threat to the whole of America. The continent of North and South America it's really concerning.
Well, I want to ask you a question specifically, Keith, and we're going to come back with you in the next segment, my friend, and talk about the parallels between January 6th, 2021 in America and January 8th of this year in Brazil. And what's going on with Trump and Bolsonaro? It's interesting. What you texted me, though, is that I'm reading from
even more importantly, what is the link between Lula and Biden?
Okay, we'll get to that in the next segment. But what you had texted me earlier when we were barnstorming this or brainstorming this segment was the situation in Brazil is as complicated as it is in the United States. We live in a clown world with a clown supporters, including the legacy media you guys talk so much about. Unfortunately for us, things are going to be darker because institutions here are much more corrupt and the people, well, you know, not a first world nation for the very reasons you guys are afraid of the white replacement of America. I think that's very...
Hit the nail on the head.
Yeah, very prescient. Very prescient.
Yes, if you don't have people that can counteract this kind of movements in institutions and in the position that they take during their life, it's going to be complicated. We know that in Brazil, when the money speaks, people are going to obey. We know that the people are
poor. Money talks and BS walks.
They don't have. Yeah, that's it. That's it.
All right, hold on right there. When we come back, we're going to talk with you about what Glenn Greenwald said about this situation in Brazil. And again, folks, if you're an American, I know this isn't top news here, although it has made major news, New York Times.
But I see America's Italian hand in trying to elect Lula over Bolsonaro.
And where is Bolsonaro? He's in Florida. And, so much more to talk about. We only got one more segment to do it. Stay tuned.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs. While you're waiting, drop by our Confederate Corner for a free cup of coffee and good conversation. Remember, there are no strangers here, just friends who haven't met yet. Dixie Republic, we're not just a roadside attraction, we're a destination for our people. For more information, visit DixieRepublic.com.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
Welcome back. It's in light of this situation of international intrigue to have someone on the ground in Brazil calling in live tonight to share with us his opinion on what's going on and how it runs contrary to what you've been reading. Keith, I just want to say very quickly before we toss it back to our dear friend, I was reading that article from the Washington Post earlier, and give me 60 seconds and no more on this because we got to get back to our guest, but when they talk about defending democracy, that always makes me puke, and for two reasons. Number one, first of all, I don't even know what they mean by democracy, and I don't even know if they know what they mean by democracy. If democracy means you vote for something and that's what carries the day, okay, that's fine. When did we vote for all of the radical egalitarian? When did Americans get a chance to go to the ballot and vote for all of the radical egalitarian movements of the last 100 years? When did we ever? They're for democracy if a vote goes in their favor, or if a rigged vote goes in their favor. And if it doesn't go in their favor, if they don't think that they could vote it through, then they go through the courts. That's not a democratic process to go through a controlled Supreme Court. They are not for democracy. They're for democracy if it benefits them. They're not for it. And I'm the same way. If it benefits my people, I'm for it. But, let's be honest here.
Well, look, when they use the term democracy means what I like, and okay, that's all that it means. We have a government that is anti-democratic. Nobody asked, for example, when they asked if the people of California wanted affirmative action in its universities and its governmental jobs, they said resoundingly no. But what did they do? They ignored that, took it to a gay judge, federal judge in California, who said that affirmative action violated the 14th Amendment. And basically, they just trampled on the will of the people.
Well, you had Donald Trump put in the Muslim travel ban during his first few weeks in office. Then what, some judge in Hawaii overruled the president? I mean, what the hell is that? And so, but here's the thing. When they couldn't pass through all of the radical stuff in the 60s, for instance, they went to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court put it through. But now that the Supreme Court, with the issue of Roe versus Wade, finally did something that the ruling class didn't like, then they cry that the Supreme Court is illegitimate. They got to stack it. So, I mean, these people are
full. Everything is illegitimate except what they want.
Okay, let's just, that being said, let's go back to our friend down in Brazil. So, a lot going on. I hear that Bolsonaro's Minister of Justice has been arrested. The United States government is trying to deport Bolsonaro, who is in... Listen, I always liked Bolsonaro. Folks, basically what's happened is, what happened on January 6th happened this week in Brazil on January the 8th. You had people that were concerned about malfeasance...
The integrity of an election.
Malfeasance in the electoral process, and... Bolsonaro is a Trumpian type figure. You have Trump now facing so many different charges and investigations, or you may soon be charged and indicted, and a lot of stuff going on, a lot of smoke there. And that may soon be happening with Bolsonaro. But I always liked Bolsonaro, and I liked him even more this week. He was shuffling around a Publix in Orlando, and I swear I know that Publix. And then after he went shopping at the grocery store, he went to KFC. Now, how could a guy like that not be on the right side of heaven? I mean, come on. Anyway, but you sent me this week this situation with the, go ahead and comment on that, please. But he is in Florida. They're trying to send him back down to – yeah, go.
Yeah, he's a people's people. He's a guy. He's
I'm beginning to think that South Florida is the capital of Latin America.
If I if I had been at that Publix and I ran into Bolsonaro, he was just walking around like a normal guy, just shopping. Somebody videotaped it. He pointed at him and smiled. He was just walking around shopping. If you don't know what a Publix is, P-U-B-L-I-X, it's just a grocery store chain that's popular in Florida. Anybody that's been in Florida knows Publix. But anyway, continue. We're taking up all your time. Go.
No. I think you're going to be friends with him in 3 seconds, James. You're going to like him. He's a good guy. And just pointing out one paragraph of this piece you sent me. I mean, he said that as his administration accumulated problems, corruption, creeping coronavirus outbreak. I mean, corruption. Bolsonaro just ended corruption in Brazil. It was the first time in my life. I'm 43. It was the first time in my life that I heard that corruption in Brasil ended. People in Brasilia, the capital, they were really, really mad about this. Politicians got over that. I mean, they were really upset with this because he just went inside the presidency. He said, stop stealing. And everything stopped. For the first time in my life, we saw the country starting to grow, even though the pandemic hit in hard for us. Even though everything they said, economy of Brazil was the only one in the world during the pandemic that went well. All the other countries, including the United States, had inflation bigger than Brazil. So it's incredible.
I believe that.
The guy did
God.
An amazing job.
Well, notice that Florida is like the epicenter of common sense in America. We got the best people out of Cuba. Then we've started getting the best people out of Venezuela. It sounds like we're going to get some good people from Brazil, too.
Well, I hope that Bolsonaro gets to stay in Florida. If I could have been at KFC when he was there. There's footage of him eating a KFC. A president of one of the biggest nations in this hemisphere.
The legitimate president.
Well, and I mean, the former or still legitimate president, whatever, going to Publix and a KFC. I mean, that just goes to show. I want to be. That's right, my friend. I want to stand shoulder to shoulder with people like that. I got a lot more in common with the guy that shops at Publix and eats at KFC when he's done shopping than I do with the ruling class here. But you sent me this, and I got to get your comment on this. So this is from Glenn Greenwald, a true investigative journalist, a true journalist. The censorship regime.
And he's left.
Yeah, he's left of center, but he's an honest leftist. He's an honest leftist. The censorship regime in Brazil is growing rapidly, virtually daily now. We just obtained a censorship order that is genuinely shocking, directing multiple social media platforms to immediately remove numerous prominent politicians and commentators. It's kind of like what they do here, except it's unofficial. I can't overstate, Greenwald continues, how shocking and dangerous this censorship order is. It's from the same judge that even the New York Times has been warning about as authoritarian. Alexander, you can pronounce this. Pronounce this for me. What's his name?
Yeah. Alexandre de Moraes.
All right. Say that, Keith, just like he said it.
Alexandre de Moraes.
All right. A sign of how repressive the situation in Brazil is. I had to spend hours. This is Glenn Greenwald again. I had to spend hours with lawyers even figuring out if I can report this. I've confronted governments around the world, and this is the only time I've ever asked, should I report this? Can I safely criticize this judge? And then Elon Musk even responded to that. And you said, my friend, that this is the judge that has cleared Lula for the election, has arrested and blocked every dissident voice in Brazil and many others. Actions never heard of in the Brazilian injustice system. We're going to quit talking over you and give you the last 5 minutes. Take it away. Tell us what's going on with this judge. Tell us what's going on.
And how can it be made right?
Final thoughts and what's going to happen with Bolsonaro, in your opinion. Take it away.
So this judge, they say that there's been a death of a judge, a Supreme Court judge in Brazil, I think about 5 years ago. And the guy who replaced him is this Alexandre. And they say that the guy who died is like a Brazilian way of killing people. You take down an airplane. That's how they do it. It was another
Antonin Scalia.
Crash. Yeah, sort of. So this guy took in. He is being associated with the Workers' Party ever since before they came to power. He is said to be the lawyer of the biggest criminal organization in Brazil. I mean, drug dealers. So this guy, he was laying low until the coming of Bolsonaro. After that, he became taking power. As of today, he has censored the platforms, the media platforms of three or four major Brazilian political figures, including a congressman, the biggest voted congressman of Brazil in the last election, I think 14 million voters, something like that. And he has authorized the Minister of Justice of Brazil. He just arrived in Brazil and was arrested. He authorized that. So everything that the justice system is, everything that is asked through the justice system of Brazil is going through this guy. And he's bearing everything that it's from the right and making pass of everything that is from the left. And nobody does nothing. Nobody does nothing. It's happening since 2020. And nothing happens. We don't know.
So you got this judge arbitrarily steering the rudder of this huge nation on this hemisphere. And like Trump's efforts to get to the bottom of this, it looks as though Bolsonaro's, or at least the efforts of Bolsonaro's throngs of supporters, will fall short. What do you think happens with Bolsonaro? Does he get extradited back down to Brazil? Does he get put in prison? What's going to happen with this guy who was elected president?
I don't know, James. People say a lot of stuff. People think that he's going to be imprisoned. If the politicians in America, in the United States, and including Republicans asked for Bolsonaro to lose his visa, his American visa. And if he goes back to Brazil, he's going to be in prison. That's for sure.
Did the efforts of everybody? Yes, I know what you're going to say. The hatred of Lula and Bolsonaro, they will put him in prison, and that will be, and they'll throw away the key.
It'll be the new Rudolph Hess.
Did the efforts of the people last week do any good, or did it just further muddy and complicate and worsen the situation?
Yeah, it just muddied and complicated it and made it a lot worse. Everything is bad, and everybody's saying that. I mean, people are in goodwill there, but they don't know what they're facing. They don't know the enemy.
Is there any segment, the enemy is geographic untrue. Part of Brazil that is for Lula and another part for Bolsonaro, or is it just mixed up
mainly,
all through
the
country?
The Northeast. Yeah, mainly the Northeast is for Lula, but that's not the truth. That's not
sounds
true.
Like you might
Everybody
be candidates for
like
secession,
it.
Just like we are down here.
Yeah, secession. I tell you what, if you're gonna if you're gonna take rash actions, you better be sure you can win. Let that be one of the lessons you take here. Hey, listen, 10 seconds remaining. Final word to you, brother, and thank you so much for informing us tonight. 10 seconds, go.
Stay safe and think about this through. It's happening in the whole of the Western world.
Hey, amen. Something to think about as we go to the break. Thank you for coming on tonight. We should have done another segment. We should have gone a full hour. We love you, brother. Stay safe down there. Keep being right. We'll be back with you.